please stand? Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and this is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. But today, we are also celebrating a special day on the calendar. When August 15th falls on a Sunday, we celebrate the festival of Saint Mary, the Mother of our Lord. Which is maybe a day that you might not be used to recognizing as Lutherans, but it is really important for us to recognize the importance of Mary in the overall story of God's salvation of mankind. And so today's service is going to be focused on some of those things. And you even see right behind me on the altar, we have our Christmas paraments up today. We've got the manger up here on the altar. And so we're going to have a little bit of Christmas in August today. I hope that's all right with all of you. Wonderful to have you all here with us today. Thank you for those of you who are joining us at home. It's wonderful to have you with us as well. And today we are also celebrating a baptism for Reed Hunter Nelson, who's up here with his parents. Daniel and Kirsten Nelson are up here, and we are so excited to welcome Reed into the family of God. That is going to be taking place early on in our worship today. The baptism liturgy is in the hymnal on page 268, so you can find that, so you'll be able to follow along when we come to that. But place your finger there or your bookmark there, and then we're going to be starting the service on page 167 as we follow Divine Service Setting 2 this morning. We begin, as always, with our invocation in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation may be seated. And at this time, I'll invite Reed and his parents and sponsors to come and join me. We'll make a little half circle up here in the front. I'm just right here. It's fine. Yeah. Hey, buddy. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How is this child named? Reed Hunter Nelson, receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Reed according to your boundless mercy, and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam, and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers, and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. Sponsors and witnesses are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. So Reed's parents have chosen 2 godparents for him. Courtney is here as the official Lutheran sponsor, and Keith is here as an official witness. And so having heard these important responsibilities, I now ask you both, is it your intention to serve Reed and support him in the Christian faith? If so, say yes with the help of God. God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming out, your coming in, and your going out, from this time forth, and even forevermore. Amen. He's so smiley. I love it. All right, let's come on up here to the font. We have a few questions for Reed. And since Reed is unable to speak for himself, I'm going to ask the entire congregation to follow along and answer the following questions on his behalf. Reed, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his ways? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Yes,
do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes,
and Reed, do you desire to be baptized? Reed Hunter Nelson, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good job, buddy. Thank you. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen. Give that to you, Mom. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall have no end. I encourage you to keep that candle in a safe place and light it every year on August 15th to remind Reed of his baptismal day. Smiling at me. One of the most ancient understandings of baptism in the history of the Christian church is that when a person is baptized, they receive a new name. So the name of Christ gets placed upon all of us in baptism. We carry that name with us wherever we go. It's also been a tradition in the history of the church to recognize a person's given name on the day that they're baptized and the significance of it. The name Reed is a Scottish name, and it just comes from the word for red. So the color red. And I love that because red, when we think about red in the church, that's the Holy Spirit's color. We think about red on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came to us. And now that Spirit has come to Reed in holy baptism. And the fire of faith that burns within us and is represented by that candle. So red, Reed, that's a really good name to have on a baptism day. I'm going to invite our elder Bob to share a welcome on behalf of the congregation.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you, Reed, a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our brother in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Let's welcome Reed into our church family with a round of applause. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Reed the new birth and holy baptism, and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And peace be with you. Amen. All right. You guys can go back and sit in your pew. And the congregation is going to respond now with a baptismal hymn, which is number 590. Please stand. We turn now to the inside cover of the bulletin as we continue the service now with our introit. I will bless the Lord at all times. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. Those who look to him are radiant. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. For our hymn of praise today, we are going to turn to hymn number 933, My Soul Rejoices. Please remain standing. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day, which is printed below the introit. We pray together. Almighty God, you chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of your only Son. Grant that we, who are redeemed by his blood, may share with her in the glory of your eternal kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the Feast of St. Mary comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning with verse 7. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the words of the gradual responsively. All glorious is the princess in her chamber. In many colored robes, she is led to the king. The epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today comes from back in the Christmas section of the hymnal. We're going to sing hymn 370, What Child Is This? Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the babe, the son of Mary. Amen. The text for the sermon today is from the gospel reading from Luke chapter 1, which comes from, of course, a portion of St. Luke's Christmas gospel. And in this text, we get to hear the conversation between Mary and her relative Elizabeth when Mary goes to visit her. And then in the middle of the passage, then Mary sings her famous song. And of course, this song is a song that Mary sings not to glorify herself or bring a lot of attention to herself, but the song is sung in order to magnify the Lord, to get all of the creation to focus on the amazing things that God is doing. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, so this is probably not what you were expecting when you came to church today, right? You probably weren't expecting to be singing Christmas carols or, like I said, to look up here on the altar and see Gloria with the manger, right? And I get that. I understand that. You know, hearing from St. Luke's Christmas gospel is not what we usually expect. I know what day it is. I know it's the middle of August. I know that school is just about to start tomorrow. I know that the weather is still too warm to be thinking about Christmas time, although it is a little bit cooler this morning, thanks be to God, right? I know all of that, and yet there is a method to the madness, right? And I mentioned, you know, this is St. Mary's Day. And to be fair, you know, if we were going to spend some time thinking about the mother of Jesus, there are a number of things that are outside of the Christmas story that we could really focus on with Mary. You know, like we could talk about Mary, you know, when she was with Jesus at the wedding at Cana and how she encouraged Jesus to do something to help. And then, of course, that results in Jesus' first miracle, changing water into wine, right? We could talk about Mary and her role on Good Friday. We could talk about her standing there watching silently and in agony as they're crucifying her son. We could talk about all those things, but I think we'd have to admit that the most significant moment in Mary's life came when she was young, when she was probably only about, you know, 14 or 15 years old, something like that, when the angel Gabriel comes to her, and that changes not just her life, but it literally changes the entire world. We read about Mary's faithful response to God, which comes exactly one verse before our reading starts today. So our reading starts in verse 39, but one verse prior in verse 38, Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." It's a pretty amazing and faithful response. And so that's what we're thinking about today. That's why we're having a little bit of Christmas in the summer in Hoyleton this morning. And I, like I said, I hope that's all right with all of you. And also, let me just address the elephant in the room really quickly, because I know that it doesn't really seem like a very Lutheran thing to have a whole day where we're focusing on St. Mary, and maybe we might think of that as more of a Catholic thing or something. And to be sure, August 15th is a day that matters a whole lot more on the Roman Catholic Church calendar, because today, for them, is a day known as the Feast of the Assumption, which is a fancy way of saying that they believe and teach, according to tradition, that Mary actually didn't physically die the way that everybody else does, that she was more like Elijah, you know, getting caught up in the chariot of fire going to heaven. The assumption is the teaching that Mary just kind of was bodily assumed into heaven without dying. And it's not something that you're going to find in the Bible, but that is what they teach according to tradition. So this is a big day for them. And I think we know that we are not here to worship Mary, right? We are not here to pray to Mary or expect that Mary's going to be spending all of her time in heaven worrying about all of our earthly problems, right? We don't elevate Mary to the status of a goddess on the same level as the Trinity or anything like that. But at the same time, I think for much too long, Lutherans have had a tendency to downplay Mary. Maybe a little bit too much, because maybe we're afraid of being lumped in with others who maybe take their devotion of Mary a little bit too far. But I think today gives us a really great opportunity to look at Mary's life, to look at the humble servant that she was, and just like with any other saint day that we might recognize, to see how that can draw us closer to Jesus, because ultimately, that's what it's all about in the end. So our reading here in Luke chapter 1 gives us a part of the Christmas gospel that maybe we don't tend to focus on too much when it's actually Christmas time. You know, when we have our Christmas pageants and Christmas plays, you know, and the kids dress up like shepherds and angels, and we have the manger scene and all of those things, I can't remember the last time I saw a Christmas play that included this scene, where Mary goes and visits her relative Elizabeth, who of course is the mother of John the Baptist. And she stays with Elizabeth for 3 months, it says. You know, it's a really fascinating thing when you think about how both of these women were going through these miraculous pregnancies. They were going through something that only the two of them could really understand, and to see these women supporting one another, it's just a wonderful, blessed thing. And then in the middle of that visit, that's when Mary then ends up singing her famous song, the famous song that begins here at verse 46. Which I think that's kind of interesting too, because if you were to talk to somebody about, you know, famous Christmas songs, if you were to mention, you know, the Song of Mary, I think these days, probably most people would say, oh yeah, you know, Mary, did you know, right? I think that's what most, that song's getting pretty popular. It gets more and more popular every year. I think that's what most people think of when you think of the song of Mary at Christmas time. Or if somebody's a little bit more old school, then they might think of this song. If I can get it to play. Maybe I can't get it to play. Oh, technology. Do you know what song I'm going to play? I'm going to try one more time. Here we go. Can you hear it? Sorry, I could listen to that all day. So Ave Maria, right? Beautiful song. That was the version sung by the famous Italian singer Andrea Bocelli. There's about a million different versions of that song, though. We hear them on the radio at Christmas time. Now, here's what you need to know about that song. So Ave Maria is a song, all the words are in Latin. The song goes along with the famous Catholic prayer, the Hail Mary, right? Not the thing that the quarterback does where he throws into the end zone, right? The Hail Mary prayer. The first half of that song, the first verse, is scripture. So it's Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. That's from Gabriel. That's what the angel Gabriel says to Mary when he comes to her. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. That comes right out of Luke chapter 1 from our reading today. That's what Elizabeth says to Mary. If that's where the song stopped, then we could just play that in church every Christmas. But the reason why we don't use that song in church is because of the second verse where it goes into pray for us, asking Mary to pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. So what ends up happening with that song is it becomes a song that ends up glorifying Mary in a way, worshiping Mary, elevating Mary. And what that does is it takes our focus off of Jesus, right? At Christmas time, all of our eyes should be on the manger, on Jesus himself. So that's why, unless you're trying to make a point in a sermon like I'm doing right now, normally you wouldn't play Ave Maria in a Lutheran church. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, you know, when you hear that song on the radio, you know, approximately 2 seconds after you finish your Thanksgiving dinner, that you should be, you know, putting your fingers in your ears and going, la, 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 I can't hear you. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that song ends up going into a different category of Christmas song, maybe. You know, maybe somewhere in between the traditional Christmas hymns and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty the Snowman. Like somewhere in the middle there. Because ultimately, like I said, we want to make sure that everything that we sing, everything that we do, everything that we hear, that it's all focused on Jesus. And it's interesting because then when you look at the actual song of Mary that's recorded for us here in Luke chapter 1, we find that it's the exact opposite of a song like Ave Maria. We actually just sang a version of that song. That's what we used as the hymn of praise today. That's what 933 is, My Soul Rejoices. It's a version of this song. This song starts out where Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. Magnifies. Magnificat is the way that you say that in Latin. That's actually one of the traditional names for this song, the Magnificat. When Mary had an opportunity to express everything that she was feeling about her situation, being chosen out of all the other women on earth to be the mother of God. And even with Elizabeth standing right there making a big deal out of Mary, she calls Mary blessed several times in our passage today. When Mary opens her mouth, she does not open it to glorify herself. She's not singing about how great she was, about how she had earned this privilege with all of her good works and all of her faithfulness. She didn't magnify herself. Her soul magnifies the Lord. So her words, her song, her very life is all a testimony to the amazing things that God is doing. The things that God had promised that he would do. Throughout the song, she talks about all of the promises God had made to the people of the Old Testament, going back to King David and to Moses and Abraham, even going all the way back to Adam, that God had fulfilled all of these promises. If we take a moment to remember Mary's life, then what happens is there's a magnifying glass on God himself. All of his grace, all of his mercy just gets blown up for the whole world to see. Her soul magnifies the Lord. As special and as unique as Mary was, she knew that she wasn't the Savior. But her task, her God-given vocation as Jesus' mother was to bear him in her body and then deliver him into this world. And so because she willingly served the Lord in this way, all the other things that she sings about here in chapter 1 have become reality for us. This world of sin has been turned upside down by Jesus. The curse that was upon all of us has been reversed. The broken are healed. And at the same time, all of the powerful rulers of this world who oppose God and oppose all of his people, they're the ones that get brought down low. They're the ones who are shattered to pieces. Mary sings here in verse 52, he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted those of humble estate. That's what the birth of Christ does. That's what the life of Christ does. That's what the death and resurrection and ascension of Christ do. They give the humble hope. They have given us all something to sing about. Even if you don't consider your own personal vocation as glorious and as unique as St. Mary's, you don't have to be the mother of God in order to have your soul magnify the Lord. And actually, I think we just saw a perfect example of the lowly and humble being exalted when we saw little Reed get baptized just a few moments ago. How much more humble can you be than a little happy, smiling baby over there? Reed's soul magnifies the Lord. Your soul magnifies the Lord too. We can't all be the mother of God, but we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be like Mary in the sense that we also carry Christ and deliver him into the world. Not literally, obviously, right? But we carry Christ with us wherever we go because we're just like Reed. We've had the name of Jesus placed upon us. He goes where we go. He has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. We belong to his family, and our faith bears fruit that magnifies the Lord in our speech, in our actions, in our love for God and for one another. As we carry Mary's son into the world, as we sing Mary's song in the world, even if you're not quite ready to turn on the Christmas music just yet, we sing the song of faith. We sing along with St. Mary and all of the saints who have gone before us, the glorious saints surrounding the throne of God. We will sing that song forever and ever in eternity, a song that is so much more beautiful than Ave Maria, a song that will magnify the Lord forever and ever. To God alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Since the Apostles' Creed was included in our baptismal liturgy, we will omit that at this point in the service, and we will proceed with our prayer of the church. There are a number of prayer updates to bring to your attention today. I'll try to run through them as quickly as I can. First, I wanted to mention that under hospitalized, we are going to be praying for Orville Obermeyer. He's been hospitalized most of this last week with some heart trouble. He's currently at Barnes. They are preparing him for an MRI tomorrow and then possibly another procedure coming in the future, and so please keep him in your prayers. We'll also be lifting up in prayer Larry Sockleben. That's the brother of Kathy Unverfurt, and he'll be having heart surgery this coming Wednesday. We are giving thanks to God today for successful surgery, for Ellie Kasten, who had a successful tonsillectomy, and for Aggie Baining, who had successful hip surgery this week. And then also wanted to bring to your attention, in case you haven't already heard, our dear sister in Christ, Laura Hake, who was the oldest member of our congregation, has passed away at the age of 105. She passed away on Friday morning. And so we'll be lifting up the Hake family in our prayers. And just for your information, her funeral will be this coming Tuesday morning. We're also lifting up today the family of Roger Small, the father of Brad Small, who passed away in Florida on Thursday, and also the family of Zachary Brinkman. That's the young man from New Minden that we've been praying for the last several weeks. He passed away on Friday morning, so we'll be lifting up his family in prayer as well. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Father, we thank you that you have sent the great good shepherd who has compassion on his flock. In his name, we lift up our prayers for the family of God, for every nation, tribe, people, and language, and for all those who hunger for the true bread of life. Lord, in your mercy. Grant us always, O God, to work for that which endures to eternal life. Bless the ministry of this congregation in our community, that many may embrace Jesus as the Christ, and like St. Mary, magnify him in their souls. Allow the spread of your gospel to continue unhindered, and may the spirit of love abound. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Hans Trinklein in South Korea, and also our sister congregation, Olive Branch Lutheran in Frogtown, and their pastor, Roger Drinnen. Today, we also ask you to be with the people of Trinity Lutheran in Nashville and with Pastor David Benning, as he has answered your call and will be installed there this afternoon as their sole pastor. Bless him and his congregation during this time of transition. Finally, we lift before you our day school ministry here at Trinity Hoyleton as we begin a new school year tomorrow. Bless students and parents, faculty and staff as we work to raise the next generation in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Protect your people, O Lord, from the impurities of this world. Save us from the violence outside ourselves and from hardness of heart within. If it be your will, grant us favorable weather and keep safe all those who work in the fields. By your righteous governance, preserve and guide the leaders of our nation as they execute justice in our land. By your Holy Spirit, change hardened hearts with the gospel that true peace may be established. Bless the members of the armed forces, especially those who are connected to this congregation, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, our souls magnify you, and we praise you for all the blessings you shower upon us. We rejoice today with those who rejoice, especially those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Jameson, Norman, Daniel, Kevin, Linda, and Dale. Grant them all your grace and mercy as they grow in faith with each passing year. We also give you thanks for the gift of new birth through the waters of holy baptism. We ask you, Lord, to surround Reed Hunter Nelson with your love each and every day as he grows into the young man of God you would have him to be. Lord, in your mercy. Bestow your power of healing upon the sick, especially those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Francis, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift Orville before your throne as he is currently hospitalized with heart trouble. We lift Larry before your throne as he looks ahead to his upcoming heart surgery on Wednesday. We give you thanks and praise for successful surgery for Ellie and for Aggie. And we lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns. Roy, Marvin, Amy, Ray, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Linda, Marvin, Chris, Jean, Sam, Craig, Laverne, Gretchen, Diane, Lorna, all those who are fighting cancer, that in accordance with your will they may give thanks to your name. Give your spirit of hope to the depressed, the lonely, those who mourn the death of loved ones, especially comfort the families of Laura Hake, Roger Small, and Zachary Brinkman. Strengthen their faith and assure them of your presence in this and all circumstances, Lord, in your mercy. Within the fold of your tender care, O Father, we entrust these petitions to you, that you might hear us, teach us your word, and feed us with the bread of life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We turn now to page 176 and we sing together the words of the offertory. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift upon you his countenance and grant to you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is For All the Faithful Women, which is hymn number 855. I need to give you a quick correction on the verses. This was my fault. I got confused on the order. So verse 8 is the verse that has to deal with Mary, but it's instead of 1, 2, 8, and 4, it's supposed to be 1, 8, 3, and 4. Hopefully that's not too confusing. But you'll see kind of how it goes. Hymn number 855. stand. You may be seated. Good morning. There are a number of announcements because it is a busy time of year. The first thing that I wanted to let you know about, as I mentioned before the prayers, I wanted to give you some specifics on the arrangements for Laura Hake. So, everything is happening this coming Tuesday. Visitation will be here from 9 o'clock in the morning until 11. And then the funeral service will take place at 11 o'clock, followed by the committal and the luncheon. And speaking of that luncheon, we are in need of some food. It sounds like we have the volunteers that we need, but we are in need of some food. And Marge Kasten is the one who is going to be organizing that. So if you are willing to bring some food, would you please give Marge a call and let her know what you're planning to bring? And if you don't have her number, come and see me after church and I'll get that number to you. Also, it's the beginning of the school year. So tomorrow is the first day of school, and today, this afternoon, there will be an opening service, which will be for all of our students and their parents. And so that will also be live streamed if any of you want to watch that at home later this afternoon. That'll be at 4 o'clock. But we are just really excited about the beginning of a new school year here and all of the things that go along with that. Other things that are going to be coming back include we've got women's Bible study that's going to be starting back up again after taking the summer off. So that'll be this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. I've mentioned this before, but I am planning to start a new members class. I know we have several people that are interested in joining the congregation, and so looking to start that sometime in early to mid-September. I need to see exactly who's interested and make sure we can come up with a time that's going to work for everybody. I already have about four or five people that have told me they are definitely in for sure. I know there's several others that have said that they're interested. It should be a really nice size class. I think it'd be great if you or someone you know would like to join. Please let me know. And if you just want to get a refresher on Lutheran theology and you want to come to the class, even if you're already a member, that's fine too. Just let me know. I mentioned the installation for Pastor Benning in Nashville today. If you are not planning to be here for the opening service for school, then you're also invited to go there. 3 o'clock will be the service, and they are having a little reception following the service, but they are wanting anybody who's planning to go to give them a call and let them know that they're coming. They're trying to figure that out. So their phone number is there in the bulletin for you if you're planning to head over that way today. Next Sunday will be the beginning of Sunday school for the year, officially, right? I know that they've already started their new curriculum, but we're calling next Sunday Rally Day, and so we're excited about that. And there's a note there in the bulletin about everything to expect for next week. Should be a wonderful opportunity to celebrate the beginning of a new year. We won't be having a picnic afterwards or anything like that. You know, some of you might remember those kinds of things from previous years. This will just be celebrated during the worship service itself next Sunday. Just a couple other really quick things. I wanted to let you know, we have been mentioning that we're going to have an open house at the Parsonage so everybody can check out the new kitchen renovation, everything that's been done over there. And we have set a date for that. It's going to be on October 3rd. It just seemed like with everything happening in September just wasn't really going to work. So got to wait just a little bit longer, but hopefully you can put that day on your calendar, October 3rd. That's the first Sunday in October. We're going to invite people to come over right after church. So come to church that day and then come to the Parsonage afterwards, and we'll see you there. Let me know if you have any questions about that. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is that we have an opportunity to participate in the 40 Days for Life, which is an event that's put on every year by the St. Louis Coalition for Life. And so the dates that are chosen for the congregations in our circuit are Thursday, October 7th, and Friday, October 8th. They're looking for some volunteers to take an hour shift at a time and just stand outside of the Planned Parenthood in Fairview Heights. And you don't have to talk to anybody. They have trained people that are there if there's anyone who wants to engage. But really, it's simply to stand there, be a presence, pray, maybe hold a sign or something like that. Very, very low key, but if you'd like to be involved, you'd like to volunteer on either one of those days, please let me know, and I'll be working with Christy Hofferber in Hoffman on putting that schedule together. So let me know if you're interested in that. I think those are all the announcements that I wanted to highlight today. Did I miss anything important? Okay, if not, I pray that you have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week in the Lord. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.